Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today we're continuing our series that we started last week on the book of Proverbs. I want to encourage you that if you have not picked up a Bible reading guide, that you can on the left-hand side on the table walking out. There's a Bible reading guide as we read through the book of Proverbs as a church. Now, the great thing about the book of Proverbs is basically it's a chapter a day. If you're reading along with us, we had to do two chapters this week to keep in along with our reading pattern, to finish by the end of the month. But if you haven't, if you're like, well, I didn't know we were doing that, and you want to start, that's okay. You can catch up this weekend. This week, you can read two chapters a day, and you'll be all caught up. So if you want to do that, I would encourage you to dig into God's Word through the month of September, specifically in the month of Proverbs. It's a great opportunity. You can follow us on our Facebook page, and we just put that reminder out there every day, what chapter that we're reading for that day. And so last week, we started this series on the book of Proverbs, understanding what Proverbs is all about. Now, the great thing about Proverbs is that it's just so full of wisdom for our lives. That's what it's all about. It's teaching us how we can be more wise. And I asked the question last week, who in the room wants more wisdom? And everybody said, amen, right? I mean, we all want more wisdom. There's very few people that I come in contact with like, nope, I got enough wisdom, I don't need any more. We all need wisdom in our lives. And so the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom how we can live our lives. You know, the way that I like to see Proverbs is like an onion. You know, an onion is, you know, just layer after layer after layer, and that's kind of how Proverbs is. You dig into it, you pull back a layer, and there's another one. You pull it back, and there's another layer. There's so much goodness in the book of Proverbs to help us live our daily lives. There's so much that helps us apply it to our daily lives. Now, reading the Bible sometimes can be challenging. There are specific books of the Bible and chapters and verses that we struggle with, and theologians are debating things for centuries. But Proverbs is truly one of those books that you can pick up and you can apply things to your life that day. In fact, there are many devotionals that are based off the book of Proverbs, specifically for that reason, because they're easy to apply to our lives. And so you see devotion after devotion founded on Proverbs, because it is something that we can take and use in our daily lives. Not that the rest of the Bible isn't, but yet it is very easy to take what it's saying and apply it to our daily lives. So we can use this as a tool, and hopefully as you're going through your Bible reading plan, that God is speaking things to you through this series and through the next couple of weeks. Now, there are a lot of different things, as I mentioned, that the Proverbs is like an onion, different layers that we can look at. You can take one chapter, and you could probably spend a month on just one chapter of Proverbs, but today, I'm going to peel back one layer in chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to be reading a couple verses, 31 through 35. If not, we'll have it up on the screen for you in just a moment. But Proverbs 3 is, again, another chapter just full of God's goodness and God's wisdom for our lives. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 31 through 35. It says, "Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame." How many of you remember the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? I remember that show as a kid. And unfortunately, the news just a couple weeks ago that Robin Leach had passed away. And just hearing that theme music and hearing his voice, that was must-see TV in my house. I could not wait to watch Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous and hear. I'm not even going to attempt his accent. Nope, not going to do it. That's going to come back and haunt me somehow, so I'm not going to do that. But you know, Robin Leach, he just had that accent, and it was just you view the houses. No, not houses, mansions of the rich and famous all around the world. Now, as a kid born and raised here in Plant City, most of my life I lived in a single wide trailer. Watching Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous was something that I couldn't even fathom. I would love to just be in one of those house mansions. It's not a house. One of those mansions just for a day. And as they explore the house, I mean, it just opens up to room after room after room. And I'm like, I remember watching, I'm like, their closet is bigger than our house. Like, how is this even fair? Like, it was amazing, but yet I'm going, what is wrong with this picture? They've got bathrooms bigger than my house. What is going on? But yet, it was must-see TV to see the houses of the rich and famous, how they lived in various places of the world, and all the cars and all the things that they had. You see, we can envy people for the things that they have. We envy people for the houses, the cars they drive, the jobs they have. We envy them because of the vacations they go on. You know, growing up, lifestyles in the rich and the famous was really the only way that you got a peek into those that were more affluent. But now we have it on our fingertips that we can envy people at any time of any. I mean, you can go through a sleepless night, jump on Facebook or Instagram and scroll through there, and you can start seeing people's wonderful vacation and go, why am I not on that vacation? Why don't I have, you know, this family perfect portrait? And at 1:30 in the morning, you can become envious of somebody in their lives because they're living it what seems to be better than your life. You see, we may look at people and become envious of them, and the Bible clearly says that we should not be envious of wicked people. But the word wicked here is, it's a little bit more nuanced than when we think of wicked, we think of just, I mean, terrible, awful people, right? I mean, when you think of the word wicked, you automatically put in your mind this really strong negative connotation. But yet, when the Bible is talking about wicked here, it truly means people that are separated from God, those that do not have a relationship with Him. And so this term wickedness, and it means that we should not envy the wicked, that really means anybody that is outside of a relationship with God. Yes, it can mean the wicked in the sense of somebody killing and murdering people and robbers and all of these other things, but yet the term wickedness kind of covers everybody that is not in relationship with God. Not just the when we think of evil times 100 equals wicked, it just means anybody that does not have a relationship with God. Setting apart, God is holy, and those that are not with God that are not holy, that term wickedness. It's a very, very strong word. It's a very strong term, but it's something that we have to understand, something that we need to look at, that we should not envy anybody. We should not envy the wicked. Proverbs is very clear about that. But have you ever asked yourself this question? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do good things seem to happen to bad people? Or I can take that word out. Why do good things happen to wicked people? Be honest. We're in church. You've thought that question before. You have looked at somebody who is living their life as far away from God as possible, but yet everything seems to fall their way. Everything, like they never get in trouble, that they can lie and cheat and steal and nothing ever seems to happen to them. And you go, God, what is wrong with this picture? I'm doing everything right. I'm serving you. I'm examining my heart. I'm studying your word. And it seems like everything bad is happening to me. But this person who doesn't know you, is living far from you, everything turns up golden for them. What is wrong with this picture? Aren't I supposed to be the one who's living in your promise? Aren't I the one supposed to be living in your blessings? It may be true that people that are far from God, that people who are not in relationship with God may have a better house than you. They may have a better job than you. They may skate through life and no harm ever comes on them, but the Bible is clear. The only reward they will see is the one that they have right now. That is this, what the world can offer them is their only reward. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, we cannot take anything this world has to offer and take it to the other side. We cannot take anything this world has to offer and take it to the other side of eternity. I've seen this funny picture, and you probably have too, of a hearse driving through town, and there was a U-Haul behind it. And under the bottom it says, well, somebody figured out how to take their stuff to the other side. As far as I know, that's not the case. When we die, everything that we have accumulated stays right here. Everything that we have, all the stuff that we have stays right here. But we have been promised in God's word so much more on the other side of eternity. that God's word has promised us an eternal life. To be absent from our body means to be present with Christ. That is so much greater reward than anything that this world can offer. But that is the only thing the world can offer, is the things of this earth. But yet we take those things and we focus on that. Why don't I have the stuff? Why don't I have the things that other people have? That should not be our focus. Our concern should be on God and God alone and doing His will, not stuff that we can accumulate. We will have our reward one day, but it will be in heaven. God may bless us on this side and we receive all the blessings that God gives us, but that's not the ultimate reward. That's not the ultimate prize. We have to trust God that He will give us our ultimate reward in heaven. Easy for you to say. Let's look at Proverbs. Go up to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say all.
All.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. Okay. How many of us do that verse completely backwards? It says that we should trust in the Lord with all of our heart and don't lean on our own understanding. But we switch it around and we trust in God with just a little bit and lean on all of our understanding. We only focus on our understanding and only trust God slightly. That we try to make sense of everything. That God, I don't understand why you're blessing that person. That's not for us to understand. We're not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in God. That's what He's saying. That is how we can become wise in this life. We try to understand, we try to figure things out, but it's not for us to understand. It's not for us to figure out why God, why seemingly this person is living a blessed life and they're living far away from God, but everything wrong is happening to us. That's when we try to lean on our own understanding. But the verse says that we are to trust in God with what? Oh, you can do better than that. Trust God with what? There you go. That's better. All of our heart. And don't lean on our own understanding. We don't need to look at others. We need to look at God. God's word is clear that whatever we have here in this world will fade away. And if you do not have a relationship with God, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, when that day finally ends here on earth, everything that you've accumulated ceases at that moment. But the reward that God offers is eternal life with Jesus. That is a promise that we have been given. Envy is something we must guard our hearts. Envy can lead us down dangerous roads. When you look at somebody else and you look at their life and wish you had what they had, or you don't understand why they have more than you, why aren't bad things happening to them? Envy can lead us into dangerous places. Envy can lead to resentment. We resent the fact that something is going well for another person and not for us. God, why is all of this happening to me, but nothing is happening to them? And if we're not careful, envy can grip every single one of us. It's not just envying people that are far away from God, but we can envy other Christ followers. You see, it's easy to look at other people that are far away from God and go, man, I don't know, God, where are my blessings? But we can envy fellow believers. That we can look at them and go, God, why aren't you using me like you're using that person? God, why is my friend... Why are they getting a pay raise and getting a better job and a better house and a better car and I'm still stuck in this dead-end job? We can become envious of others and what they have and what we don't. And we're no longer happy for them, but we get resentful that it didn't happen to us. I remember when I was finishing up my undergrad degree at Southeastern, that during that time, I was serving here at the church, serving as the associate pastor and youth pastor. I was working here part-time, going to school full-time, and then I was working a part-time job as a collections specialist. That was awesome. I worked, you know, I worked during the nights. I would go to school during the day. I would try to come here, and then I would go to my other job, and I would call people at 8 o'clock at night and ask them why they haven't paid their car bill in 2 months. Like, why haven't you paid your... That was a great job, let me tell you. And then I would do it all day on Saturday for 8 hours, just calling people that were 2 payments past due. You know, most people, if they're behind on their car payments, there's a reason for that. And that was just not a fun job. That wasn't something I was excited about doing. But I had to do it. I had to provide for my family. And so I began to look around as graduation time came around, and other students were getting jobs, full-time jobs. And I remember this one student in particular. We had been in several classes together and kind of the same age and all of that. And here I am serving at the church, and we're trying to grow the ministry and try to do all that God's calling us to do. And I'm working a part-time job and doing something I really don't enjoy doing. And one day in class, he says he got hired on at this large church making a large salary. I was not happy for him in that moment. I was envious of him in that moment. God, why aren't you doing that for me? Why did he get that job? He's no different than I am. We've studied the same stuff. We've gone through the same courses. I think I'm as spiritual as he. You know, that comparison trap. Why aren't you doing that for me? Here I am toiling away, working, and yet I want what he has. That was not a fun place to be in that moment, in that time. You see, we should be happy for other believers. We should be happy when good things happen to other people. But if we allow envy to invade our hearts and our lives, that happiness and joy has now turned into jealousy. You see, we all have to fight against it. Instead of being happy for him, I could feel that resentment just boiling up inside of me. And every time I passed him on the sidewalk, like, I can't believe you. Like, Lord, forgive me. What is wrong with me? Why can't I be happy for him? That's awesome. You're doing something for the kingdom. You're going to pay off all your student loan. And here I have got it. And I have to fight this battle back and forth. We've all been in situations like that where we look at somebody else and we're envious of them. Maybe you look at your family and go, God, why isn't my family like theirs? Why does it seem like I have all the crazy people in my family and their life is normal? What is wrong? We all have crazy people in our family. But we play that comparison game. We're envious of other families. We're envious of them. We're envious of their kids. Why am I always up at school dealing with this issue and their kids are perfect? What is wrong? You have that coworker who just everything happens. They're like, well, I'm working harder than they are, but yet everything is falling just perfectly for them. It can also be a physical thing, that you can look at other people and their physical appearance and go, God, why didn't you make me different? Why didn't you give me a better figure? Why didn't you give me better hair? Why didn't you give me X, Y, whatever it may be, and you play the comparison games? God, I would be able to do so much more for you. I would do this or that. That we wish we could be that person, and instead of being happy for them, we become envious of them. Envy can come in a variety of different ways. There are many opportunities for envy to get into our hearts, and we must be mindful of it. So why is envy so wrong? Why is it wrong? The Proverbs clearly says we should not be envious, but why is it so wrong? Well, the Bible says it's wrong. All right, we can go home. Right? I mean, the Bible says it's wrong, so that's all we need, right? I mean, if the Bible says envy is wrong, then that's something we need to stay away from. All right, well, I'll go a little bit further than just because the Bible says so. Envy steals our joy. Envy is wrong because the Bible says we should not be envious of other people. But if we go a little bit deeper, why is envy wrong? Because it can steal our joy. It can steal our peace. That God gives us this overwhelming joy and this peace in our heart when we come in relationship with him and make Jesus the Lord of our lives, that there is this supernatural peace and this supernatural joy that just floods our hearts and our lives, that we can have joy even in the middle of the worst time of our lives. That comes from God. But when we're envious of people, when we're looking and we're jealous, I don't know anybody that is envious that is joyful. Somebody that is envious probably is a grouchy person that you probably don't want to be around. Because they're sitting back with their arms crossed. I can't believe everything's happening. Did you hear what happened? And blah, 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 you know. That's not a joyful person. That's not a peaceful person. envy steals our joy. So how do we fight it? Go back to 3:31, that we have to trust in God. If we are envious of the wicked, or if we are the envious of our brothers and sisters, understand that God is not telling us to understand why all those things are happening to other people. It's like somebody wins the lottery. God, I could do so much more good with that money. Why didn't I win the lottery? Why didn't you bless me with $1 million? I could do so much good. How many of you, okay, be honest. How many of you watched the news and somebody has won the lottery and you're going, God, I could do so much good with that money. Man, I would tithe to the church. I would send money to orphans in Africa. I would give money to missionaries. And of course, I would take care of my family and we'd buy a new house. But I would do so much good with it, God. Why didn't you give that to me? When you see people who win the lottery and you go back after the fact, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, most of them are destitute. They've lost all their family and they've lost everything. Money, stuff, things is not the solution. Just because somebody has money or fame does not mean that they will be happy and full of joy in their lives. We have to trust God as believers in Christ. We must trust in Him with all of our heart that He knows what He's doing, that He has given us exactly what we need, and not be jealous or envious of what other people have or what we don't have. We need to look at what God has given us and thank Him for that. There are two pastors in a town in Texas, and they had started a friendship. And they met together once a week for coffee and just shared things were going on in their church and how God was moving and challenges, things that they were facing. And then all of a sudden something happened. The first pastor, he began to experience tremendous growth in his church. I mean, just the church was exploding and they're having to build and do, you know, just this huge, you know, campaign to, you know, to accommodate all the people in the church. Well, the other pastor is sitting there and he's like, God, why aren't you doing that at our church? I'm doing the same things. I mean, you've called me just as you've called him. We're living in the same community. Why aren't you blessing our church? Why aren't you doing this? And he began to be very envious of the other pastor, looking at all the things God was blessing him in multiple services and campuses and just hearing all the wonderful reports that were going on. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him one day and says, don't look at what I'm doing over there. Be focused on what I'm doing right here in your church. I have called their church to do what they're doing, and I am calling you to do what you are doing. Do not look at them and wish you had what they had. Be confident in what I have given you. Everybody is different. There are things that God is going to bless other people with, and you may want what they have, but God says, that is not for you. I have given you exactly what you need. Take it in your hands. Trust in me. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean in mine. Trust in me with all of your heart. We have to examine our hearts and not allow envy to spread. It can be very easy to pick up your mobile device or get on your laptop or your computer and start looking through social media and go, God, why isn't my life like theirs? Why haven't you blessed me with things that you have given them? Why is all of this bad stuff happening to me? And envy works in, and before we know it, we are no longer joyful and we have no peace in our lives. Now we are just grumpy and mad and upset at the world and upset with God. We have to examine our hearts to avoid the trap of envy. Let me finish with this last story. You're probably familiar with Jesus, his story, his amazing miracle in John 6, where Jesus has taught, and I mean, Jesus is doing his thing. I mean, he's sharing, and people have just gathered from all around to hear Jesus speak. And he looks and realizes it's late in the day. People weren't worried, hey man, can you finish up? We got places to go. Hey, football's on just a little while. Let's wrap it up. They weren't concerned about time. They weren't concerned about anything else, but they were just listening, hanging on every single word of Jesus. And he begins to look and realizes that it's getting late in the day. And he looks to his disciples and says, guys, we need to feed these people. And they're like, Jesus, do you realize how many people there are? Like, there are thousands of people. It would take thousands of dollars to feed them, and we don't have the time to even try to collect that money. We can't work to make that money. And Jesus asked them the question. He says, well, what do we have? what do we have? Like, well, there's this little kid over here with his lunchbox. He's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's all we have. Jesus said, that's enough. He blesses it, prays over it, instructs the disciples, now go feed everybody. The disciples feed, the Bible says 5,000, but that's not including women and children. There's well over 5,000. The disciples come back. I can just imagine Jesus said, so everybody get something to eat? Yeah. Got any leftovers? Yeah. How much? And each one of them have a basket full of food. There was enough for each disciple, all 12 of them, to have leftovers. And Jesus, sometimes we focus on the miracle. We focus on Jesus feeding the 5,000. But Jesus was teaching the disciples, trust me, you have exactly what you have need of. Whatever is in your hand is exactly what I have. And I can multiply that enough that there's enough for leftovers. You may look at your life and be envious of other people. God, why don't I have what they have? Why don't I have the gift to get up in front and speak in front of people? Why don't I have the gift that you haven't blessed me with wealth that I could just do that? God says, I have given you exactly what you have need of. You may think it's only a little bit, but I can do so much more with it, more than you can dream or imagine, so much more that it can be multiplied that you have leftovers if you trust in me. If you trust in me. If you lean not on your own understanding, but trust in him with all of your heart. We are all that little boy. We've got our lunch box with just a little bit in there. And that's all we have to offer to God, but that's enough. God can take it and he can use it. Think about this. In that crowd of people, there had to have been wealthy individuals in that crowd. There had to have been affluent people in that crowd that Jesus could have went to and said, hey, we need you to go back to your farm and gather food, and we need you to, and he could have done all of those things, and they probably could have done it, but he didn't do it that way. He simply goes to the disciples, what do we have? Well, this is all we have. That's enough. That's all I need. What you have is enough. Do not look at other people. Don't compare yourself to other people, because that is a trap from the enemy to keep you, to steal your joy, to steal the peace that God has given you. You may think you don't have anything to offer, but that is a lie straight from hell. You have everything to offer God, and he can use it and multiply it to do more than you can dream or imagine. It's a great place to say amen. Do not look at other people. Do not compare your life, because you will always feel inadequate. You will always feel less than. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Do not compare. Trust in him with all of your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Lean on his. Do not envy anybody, no matter what you have or what you don't have. In the end, God honors those who are humble and those who are wise. Close your eyes and bow your heads with me this morning. God, we thank you that you have given us exactly what we have need of. Thank you, God, that you have made us exactly who you have called us to be, that we don't have to compare ourselves with anybody else. We may not have the wealth of somebody else, but we have just enough. We may not have the gifts that somebody else has, but we have just enough. We may not have the physical looks as somebody else, but you have made us and uniquely in your image, and that is enough. Help us, Holy Spirit, not to allow envy into our hearts and our lives, but to lean on your understanding and not our own, and trust you with all of our heart. Not just a piece of it, not just a percentage, but all of our heart. Guard our hearts, Holy Spirit, from envy, that we may do what you have called us to do, to use the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the resources that we have in our hands right now, to see you multiply it and have enough for leftovers. As a church, God, may we focus on that, realize what we have, and use it for your kingdom. and never be jealous or never be envious of anybody else, but celebrate the good things that are happening. Celebrate those that are receiving blessings. Celebrate the good things that are happening in other people's lives. And trust in you that one day that we will be with you. That is the eternal promise. That there should be never an ounce of envy in our lives, because we know the ultimate reward is eternity with you. And if you're here this morning in our final moments together with every head bowed and every eye closed, if maybe you've allowed envy into your heart, you've looked at other people and maybe it has stolen some joy or stolen your peace, just simply ask for forgiveness. Or maybe you're here today and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life. You have not given him all of your heart. Now is the time to do it. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. Just do it today. Jesus, I give you all of me. You died for me. You gave your all for me. And I trust you. Just simply say that to him. I trust you with all my heart. I love you with all my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my envy. Forgive me of my jealousy. You are all that I need. Jesus, we trust you with all of our heart. And everyone says, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.